This is UN in Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Anna Carmo. In this week's program, grotesque rape chants occurring at political rallies in Burundi expose a campaign of terror, the UN Human Rights Chief warns, and we have a special report on the thousands forced to flee drought in the south of Somalia. But first, 17 new mass graves have been found in an area of the Democratic Republic of the Congo, or DRC, that's seen months of clashes between government soldiers and local militia, the UN said this week. In a call for an independent investigation, the UN Human Rights Office, OHCHR, said that DRC troops were reportedly responsible after clashes with Kaimuna and Sapo members in central Kasai province in late March, which claimed at least 74 civilian lives. The development comes amid ongoing uncertainty linked to President Joseph Kabila, whose second term in office officially ended last December. Here's OHCHR spokesperson Liz Throssell speaking to Daniel Johnson.
UN investigators visited the Kasais between the 5th and the 7th of April, where they were able to confirm the existence of 17 further mass graves, and that brings the total number of mass graves that have been confirmed to 40.
Right, so who are you saying? Well, you're pretty clear who the perpetrators are of this violence and of these victims. You suggest it's the DRC Armed Forces, the FARDC.
Well, the UN investigators, the UN team on the ground, spoke to people there. And from the information that they gathered, it seems that the soldiers from the armed forces of the DRC were responsible for digging these mass graves. There were also clashes with presumed members of the local militia that's known as the Kamwina and Sapu. And they got information that more than 70 people, including 30 children, were reported to have been killed by soldiers during these clashes. So that was clashes in one area. They also had reports and got information that soldiers were reported to have shot dead at least 40 people in the Nganza commune of Kananga. And this happened reportedly while soldiers were going door to door looking for militia members. And there was also further violence in another commune that's called Katoka, that's also in Kananga, where this time the police were reported to have been carrying out searches, and there were reports of three people being killed there, including a month-old baby.
So what exactly does the UN Human Rights Office want to see from the DRC authorities and perhaps indeed from the Kasai Central Province authorities?
The High Commissioner said that the discovery of these mass graves, more mass graves, and the reports of continued violations, abuses, just show how important it is to have a meaningful investigation into all alleged human rights violations and abuses by all parties. I've spoken about reported killings by soldiers, but there's also violence that's been carried out by the militia members as well. So what the office is saying, what we're calling for, is a meaningful investigation by the DRC government. But should there not be an effective national investigation, then we're calling on the international community to support an investigation by an international mechanism.
You say you're calling for evidence gathering, but can we perhaps just go back to an earlier incident of violence, which was in February when members of the Kamwina and Sapu militia were apparently shot, according to video footage, by the FARDC, the DRC Armed Forces. Do you have any information on that?
Well, with that incident in February, as with others, that it is crucially important that there is an investigation. It's a thorough, independent and prompt investigation. So that's why we are making this call for an investigation into the killings, the mass graves in the Kasais. And it's also important that the circumstances surrounding that video are established.
The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights has expressed deep alarm at a widespread pattern at rallies in Burundi, where members of the ruling party's youth wing chant about impregnating and killing their opponents. Zaid Rahad Al-Hussein said that the organized nature of the rallies and rights violations laid bare a campaign of terror being waged in the African country. Meanwhile, a video has been circulating on social media showing more than 100 members of the Imbonerakure youth militia repeating similar slogans. Communal strife erupted after President Pierre Nkurunziza won a controversial third term in office in 2015. Matthew Wells asked Scott Campbell of the UN Human Rights Office, OHCHR, to explain who the militia members are.
Well, the Imbonerakure are theoretically the youth wing of the political party of the president, the CNDD-FDD. However, in reality, the Imbonerakure act as a militia, often committing human rights violations in conjunction with the police or other state security forces. What's concerning about the video that circulated on social media over the last couple of weeks is it appears to be the tip of the iceberg of a much wider trend of gatherings of the Imbonerakure, often in the presence of state authorities, political party leaders, or the president of the Senate, government administrators, where the songs, chants, or variations thereof are sung repeatedly by the Imbonerakure. The concern is that this is going on in different provinces across the country, and that it has been going on, we're learning now, for perhaps in some areas as long as 2 years.
So obviously the concern is that these youths, others in Burundi, might actually act on these words and turn them into reality.
Well, that is the concern. I mean, there's a very long and ugly history, of course, in Burundi and in the sub-region of incitement to hatred, incitement to violence, including sexual violence, leading to reality. And of course, there have been any number of incidents of mass killings, mass atrocities in Burundi and in Rwanda in the sub-region. So that's clearly what the High Commissioner is trying to warn today through his press statement, is that there are signs that harken back to previous incidents of mass atrocities, and now it's time for the international community to act. In fact, this isn't the first time the High Commissioner has rung the alarm bell, but he's doing it loudly and clearly today based on what we see emerging as a trend across the country of organized gatherings, rallies of youth aligned with the president's political party and clearly chanting and singing hate speech, speech that incites to violence, which could include mass sexual violence.
Disease, hunger and drought are forcing families in southern Somalia's Bay region to leave their homes in search of help, the UN humanitarian agency OCHA has said. Since March 2017, more than 100,000 drought-displaced people have arrived in the region's capital, Baidoa, from neighboring areas. Some 6.2 million people, half of the country's population, need humanitarian aid to survive. Jocelyn Sambira has the story.
The Liban settlement is one of the many that have appeared in Baidoa town in southern Somalia. Established in mid-January, it has seen a rapid increase in new arrivals, especially women, children, and the elderly. There's also been an increase in the number of acute watery diarrhea and cholera cases, especially among the newcomers. Habiba Ahmed is with her mother at the Baidoa Regional Hospital's Cholera Treatment Center.
My mother is suffering from diarrhea and vomiting, but she's much better now. She has good doctors, good medical care, and she's being treated with chlorine and oral rehydration salts.
John Ging, the director of operations for UN OCHA, was a member of a delegation visiting the hospital.
There are now over 150,000 people that have been newly displaced in Baidoa because of the drought. So we have come from the headquarters of the United Nations and international NGOs to see the situation and then to rapidly support the response.
Baidoa town was the delegation's first leg of a tour that also took them to the port of Kismayo in Jubaland State on Somalia's southern frontier to assess the drought's impact on people. At Kismayo General Hospital, UN officials met with a recovering patient named Barwako Mohammed.
I got sick with diarrhea while looking after a sick child in the hospital. I was admitted in this ward. Alhamdulillah, I'm doing much better. I was admitted suffering from diarrhea and vomiting, but now I'm recovering.
The delegation also held discussions with authorities in the southwestern Jubaland states and agreed to speed up the response to the drought. Here's the UN Humanitarian Coordinator for Somalia, Peter de Klerk.
Talked about how we can work together towards fighting the drought and to prevent a famine from happening, so to make sure that people get the type of assistance that they deserve. And we need the cooperation of the Southwest authorities very much in terms of making sure that this camp is safe, that we can build toilets and latrines here in this camp. So we need that cooperation to work together towards fighting the drought and the famine and the acute water diarrhea and cholera situation.
The UN is asking for $825 million in aid for the first half of 2017 to avert a famine in Somalia. Jocelyn Sambira, United Nations.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of UN in Africa. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Anna Carmo.